right into our Bible study tonight. Lesson number three in this spiritual battle that we're facing. And tonight's lesson is entitled, you should have an outline there in your prayer bulletin. It's entitled, Dabbling in Darkness. Now, I want to kind of throw out a disclaimer here. And I mentioned it last week. Starting this week and moving forward, we're going to begin looking at specific areas where we have surrendered ground to the enemy. Okay? We, meaning Christianity in general, people in general. And while this may not be an area where you have surrendered ground, it may be and you haven't realized it. But if it's not, it's important for us to know the information, what the Bible says about this area of ground, so that we can help others. Now, I know there are individuals here because you've talked with me at different times in years past, even going back to when I was a youth pastor here, that you know individuals who have struggled in this area of the occult. And I'm looking across the room here. I don't see any Satan worshipers. Wait a minute. Let me look closely. All right. And that's a good thing, because if you were, you're here on a Wednesday night, you feel awful comfortable being here, there's a problem if you feel comfortable being here. But we may know of people. In fact, let me just say this. I don't want to jump too far ahead as I'm rambling here and get into the lesson. We could be dabbling in areas of darkness and not even realizing it. You say, but Pastor, I'm not a Satan worshiper. You don't have to be a Satan worshiper to have been dabbling in darkness. But keep in mind what we talked about last week. When we give Satan a foothold, he uses that to begin building a stronghold in our lives. And if we give him a foothold in one area, it doesn't mean he has to build a stronghold in that area. We've given him ground. We've let him in the door. We let him on our beach. And he may decide to go other areas in our life. Now, you think, well, you're being picky. Yes, I am. Because Satan is a powerful enemy. And he's deceitful. And he's crafty. He's tricky. He deceives us into thinking everything's all right. So let's kind of go into this tonight with that thought in mind. Now, the dangerous thing about occult activity is that it often begins in what seems like harmless ways. It begins by dabbling, hence the title. Most people, and when we're looking at this specific area here, it seems that teenagers are attracted to this more so than adults, although there are adults in this, okay? And there are adults that do dabble in it, but think they're not dabbling in it. But most people don't sit around saying, let's open up our lives to all kinds of weird experiences and satanic influence so we can have horrible nightmares and compulsive thoughts of suicide. Let's do that. That's not how it takes place. It usually starts, for example, with teens, with a sleepover or a party that they go to, and the kids get bored, and someone says, hey, let's play with a Ouija board, just as an example. Now, folks, God's word specifically forbids contact with evil spirits and those who practice occult activities, all right? Well, you say, a Ouija board, that's a Milton Bradley game. That's just who makes it, and it's not a game. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31. Listen to what God says. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20 to not have anything to do with them. That means nothing. That means no social activities, no dinners, no get-togethers, nothing to do with them. All right? Let's look at some reasons first tonight for occult involvement. One of the reasons that people get involved in the occult, primarily teens, they begin dabbling in it, is because of power. They want power over their own lives. And not just teens, okay? Because there's other areas of the occult that are not just slaughtering chickens, drawing a pentagram on the floor, and worshiping Satan. There are many, many other forms of it. But they want power over their own lives, even power over other people's lives. They're trying to get them to do what they want them to do, and they won't do it. College students, for example, in counseling, have said this is one reason they were attracted to, listen, the New Age movement. Because it gives them power over their lives. Now, think about that thought right there. Power over our lives. I need to be in control of my life. There's some other mantras out there today that sound very similar. At the root, they're the same thing. They're having power over your lives. And we find them in the self-esteem movement. Self-actualization. Even some preachers on national TV and that you can watch on the internet, that's a common theme in what they're preaching. Number two, second reason, guidance. They're needing some guidance. They have some decisions to make. They don't know what to do, so they need some guidance. Remember, it's not just teens. You can just call your psychic hotline. That's not new, by the way, folks. If we go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 18, I'll begin reading there in verse 9. It says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." Guidance can come from Ouija boards, ask it a question, it gives you an answer, psychic hotlines, get ready, horoscopes, same thing, folks. Uh-oh. That's something where most adults would say, "Oh, I just read it for fun. Oh, I just go to satanic worship services for fun." Would y'all be okay with that? No, it wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. It's not okay. We're dabbling in darkness. We're opening the door for Satan to have a foothold from which he would build a stronghold and then wreak havoc in our lives. These are all forbidden by God. Folks, only God knows the future. Not only does he know it, he planned it, okay? And third reason is healing. And a fourth reason, protection. Now, there's an Indian chief that many of you are familiar with or have heard of. Remember Geronimo? Well, maybe you don't remember him. You've heard of him, okay? He was not an Indian chief. Did you know that? Geronimo was not an Indian chief. He was an Indian medicine man, actually. And Geronimo believed that his potion made it impossible for him to die by the white man's bullets. And so in battle, he would just go charging into battle, and the enemy would be totally afraid of this maniac, this lunatic coming at them. In one battle, history records, he was shot 6 times and didn't die. Folks, the issue is not, is this stuff real? Do these things really work? The issue is, who's making them work? Yes, they are real. Yes, they do work. They can work. But who's making them work? All right? Now, there are dangers when we come to the occult practices. One of those dangers is false spiritualities. There is no denying Satan has power. Read the beginning of Job, and you can see what God allowed him to do. It's limited power. And God is still sovereign, but Satan has power. A key danger in dabbling in the occult is that another spiritual power will invade one's life. That's a danger, okay? It doesn't mean that if you read your horoscope, you're going to be possessed by Satan and start killing people, okay? But the danger exists that another power will invade your life. Folks, we have to recognize the danger in an ongoing encounter with the occult that spirits can gain access in our lives. That is a danger. It is real. And we can't be asleep at the wheel and just say, oh, no, that's harmless stuff. We're not going to worry about that. As long as they're not cutting the heads off of chickens, I'm okay. You know, my kids are just, they're just being curious. We can't say it's no big deal. We can't say, I'm not worshiping Satan. I'm just reading the newspaper. It's just for fun. Because there's a real danger there. Another danger that we have to be aware of is wrong music. Now, one counselor that I had been reading some of his writings, his counseling practice specializes in dealing with people that are demonically influenced. And he helps hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years. He had been working with a young man who was a Satanist for most of his early years. He attended worship services when they used music to call evil spirits so that they would come and give them power and abilities. Well, the young man got saved, but certain music still triggers horrible memories in his mind. I recall when I was a freshman in Bible college, one of my professors, my first semester there, every day he would start class by quoting scripture. Every time he quoted scripture, it was different from any other scripture he had quoted. And it wasn't just a verse or two, it was a chapter or 2 chapters, start to finish. And then we would pray and class would begin. And after this went on for several weeks, as far as I can remember, at least several weeks, he then explained to the class why he did that. The scripture that he quoted that morning was the scripture he had memorized before he came to school that morning. He was serious about that. And then he told us why. He'd gotten saved later in life. As a college student, his college dorm room was plastered with pornography. And he was trying to get those images out of his mind by filling his mind with scripture. See, that's that put off, put on principle that we've looked at before in God's word. You can't just say, okay, Satan, get out of my life. I'm not going to have anything to do with this or that or this or that anymore. We've got to replace it with something. And this young boy had gotten saved, and still music, certain music, triggered these horrible memories in his mind. Here's how he described it, quote, I'm asking God to bring healing from my involvement in Satanism. Whenever I hear rock music, whether it is supposedly Christian or not, my reaction is the same. I don't care what the words say. As soon as I hear the beat, it takes me back to those services where we called the enemy to empower us. It wasn't the words. It was the music. Now, folks, I am well aware that if you want to get a lively argument or a debate started, all you have to do is bring up the subject of music. That's why I'm not allowing anyone to speak right now, because we're not going to debate that, okay? All you have to do is bring up that subject of music styles, music preferences, okay? Let's just leave all that off to the side. All I know is that when the enemy wants to control a person, music is often his weapon of choice. Music is often the gateway into controlling that person. Look how we know that, how we should know that. That spirits do respond to music. All right, listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now hold on. Do you remember that? Saul had gotten to that point in life where the Spirit of God left him, and as it says, an evil spirit began to trouble him. He had given Satan a foothold in his life through his disobedience to God. And do you remember what he did? He sought out a witch. Gave Satan a foothold. Now, verse 15. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Did you hear? Did you hear what, or see it there on the screen, what that last verse says? We're going to seek out a musician, and when he plays on his harp or whatever instrument, it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, he'll play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. It doesn't say that he'll sing good Christian music to you. Spirits respond to not words, but music. Okay? When it comes to music today, and this whole debate over it, we generally focus on the words. People that want to justify their style of music will say, well, just look at the words. The words are good. And the words may be good, all right? But as far back as this time in the Old Testament, they knew the music, not the words, the music had some influence, either repelling or attracting, when it came to the spirit world. That's just a fact for y'all to mull over, okay? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, it says, And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp, played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him because of the music that David was playing. The use of music in occult spirit worship is worldwide. No matter what continent you're on, no matter what part of a jungle you're in, whether you're in Haiti or whether you're buried in Africa somewhere, they worship Satan. They've never even spoken to each other before. Some of these third world countries, they don't have books on how to structure a satanic worship service and what kind of music you should have. But the music is very similar. Is that a coincidence? The music, folks, is the music they used is all very similar in its beat. There, I said the B word. But it is. It's similar in the beat, okay? Music is one of the tools the enemy uses to entice people into giving Satan a foothold in their lives. Now, I'm not saying that if you listen to music with a particular style of beat, whew, Satan's going to come in and possess you. But I am saying, and this reveals this, I believe, that if you listen to a particular style of music, you are opening the door to Satan coming in and establishing some kind of a foothold or a stronghold in your life. Now, here's where we may step back and say, it's no big deal. But we just talked about that, remember? That's one of the dangers, is thinking, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. I'm not saying that every time a person listens to rock music or even plays a fantasy game. There's another danger, the danger of fantasy games. Can you think of a fantasy game from several years ago, like a couple decades ago even? Dungeons and Dragons, right. That's a harmless little board game. You got all these weird shaped dice and these cards, and you roll your dice and you get these cards so you can cast spells and you can advance in rank and become wizards, and I'm just guessing now as far as but that board game was then put on a CD, and some people really got into this fantasy role playing game. And it's not just Dungeons and Dragons. There's other kinds of fantasy role-playing games out there. And there's dangers in that, just like, and I'll just throw this out here, just like there are dangers in the movies that we watch. I'll just throw that out there. Think about that for a minute. We'll come to it here in a little bit. I'm not saying every time we listen to music or play a fantasy game that we're going to end up fighting demons in our dreams and see things flying across the room. What I'm saying is that all of these things open the door to Satan's influence, giving him a foothold. It's like playing Russian roulette. Maybe you could play your Ouija board game just for fun. You know, it's a Milton Bradley board game. Or maybe you can, you know, play this fantasy role-playing game on your computer, whatever, or your teens could, or your grandkids could. It's no big deal. But let's say they could play it 1,000 times. Nothing ever happens. It's still kind of like playing Russian roulette. I'm going to have Bob put a picture up on the screen. Yes, there it is. Kind of. You can see it a little bit. That is an M230 machine gun. That's the gun that's mounted on the bottom of the helicopter that my son flies. That machine gun has a range of over 2 miles, the bullets that come out of that thing. I have a shell casing on my desk. You could slide a roll of quarters in it, and the bullet extends farther out from that. It is deadly accurate, pinpoint accurate, at 2 miles away. And when it hits, each one of those bullets is like a hand grenade. It has the explosive power of a hand grenade. His helicopter has a storage capacity of 1,000 rounds. Now, imagine loading up his storage capacity with one live round and 999 blanks. Would you stand in front of him and just let him fire off 25 of them? Anybody? Any takers? That's what we do. That's what our children do. That's what our grandkids do when we use one of Satan's tools for entertainment purposes. We're playing Russian roulette. Now, a lot of times it starts with curiosity. And teens are naturally curious, especially when there's things that are otherworldly. Curiosity is not the same as intentionally calling spirits, like at a seance or something like that, but it does open the door, this curiosity. We, as adults, I think, sometimes display curiosity when we watch movies. There are a lot of movies with a satanic element, and we watch them out of curiosity. We watch them for the graphicness of them. But yet we're opening the door. We're dabbling in it. Now I want to talk about breaking free, okay? How do we break free from this? Whether you have been dabbling in little things, I'm not saying you're ripping the heads off of chickens and worshiping Satan, okay? But maybe you have opened this door and have thought no big deal about it. The first thing we have to do is renouncing the hold, okay? We have to renounce the hold. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, it says this, "And they overcame him," Satan, the Antichrist, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Okay, did you hear how they did that? Through the blood of Christ and the word of their testimony. They spoke out loud. As I mentioned last week, we have to confess to God and verbally say, "Satan, I take this back from you. It was wrong, God. It was sin. God, help me to take this foothold back from Satan. Satan, I no longer have anything to do with this." That's what they did. The word of their testimony. Second thing, declare your intent. That is what I just said. Verbally saying, "Satan, I don't want anything to do with your ways or your works in my life anymore." By the way, folks, people trapped in occultism aren't the only ones who need to renounce Satan's influence. It's not just those that are trapped in it. All of us, Paul says, all of us as believers are called to say no to Satan every day and be obedient to Christ. Now, I just want you to think about this concept of foothold. Maybe you're not worshiping Satan. Praise God for that. But is there a sin you're struggling with in your life? You just can't seem to shake it. That's not a foothold. That's a stronghold. As we looked at last week, we give Satan a foothold, a beachhead. He establishes a stronghold, and then it turns into a pattern of sin. We have a stronghold that we need to renounce and take back from Satan and want nothing more to do with it. And it may mean having to make some drastic changes in our lives. It may mean having to get rid of some things in our house. It may mean having to get rid of some friends that cause me or their provisions for my flesh to be tempted to go ahead and repeat this pattern of sin, however that sin manifests itself in my life. You mean get rid of friends? Oh, I don't know if I could do that. I'll hurt their feelings. If we could have that last verse back up on the screen, please. Revelation 12, 11, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." In other words, they were willing, nothing in their life was more important than beating him and getting him out of their lives. That's where we have to be as Christians with whatever stronghold it is. Maybe it's not a cult, but there are strongholds in our lives. And we need to renounce them and do whatever drastic steps we have to do to get them out of our lives. Because when we stand before God one day, okay, by the way, that friend of yours won't be standing next to you. Just you and God. We all want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Okay, we're going to stop there tonight. Next week, we'll go ahead and look into another area that can be a stronghold for some of us. Let's go ahead and break up into some prayer groups.